seated, and if you're turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, I want to speak to you this morning from the pastor's heart. A lot of times my preaching is evangelistic, prophetically, or whatever God decides to do at that time, but today I want to speak from the pastor's heart. My subject, who's that knocking at my door? Now, during this pandemic, people have forsaken the assembling in the house of God. And because of that, we have created a lifestyle where we are not as concerned as we should be about his coming back. He is coming back for his church. And I want to talk to you today about some things that have happened in our lives. And these are not necessarily sins. These are things that we are not doing because we're not following the commandments of the Lord. These are not bad things. These are good things that can take our time and change our focus from where we're supposed to be looking. My sermon this morning is entitled, Who's That Knocking at My Door? Who's knocking? Who is trying to get in and get my attention? Who is knocking at my door? And I want every one of you to ask yourself that question. The thing that really birthed this in my heart was when Friday night I left prayer meeting a week ago. And when I did, I went home and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, if Jesus is not your Lord, he is not your Savior. And that's pretty strong with the gospel you get nowadays. But if Jesus is not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Then the Holy Spirit carried me to Revelation chapter 3. I didn't have to look it up. He said, I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Jesus is saying, if you're cold, I can send a word to you and I can convict you of your sin. If you're hot, then you're pursuing me and you're entering into all that I have and all I've prepared for you. But if you're lukewarm, you're satisfied and you're just complacent right where you are and you're not seeking me, you're not following me, you're not serving me the way I have called you to. Now, you can live wherever you want to, but if you want God's blessings really to flow into every area of your life, you will have to make Jesus Lord of all. Now, some of you are in danger and you have grown spiritually cold and you're preoccupied with the good things of this world. Your focus is completely out of order, and that's why the Lord has sent me to this church and to this generation with this message that we must make our call and our election sure. If we're not careful, this thing can happen to us all. We cannot blame the pandemic. We cannot blame the government. We are all responsible for our own actions and what we do in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, church, we're living in the last days, and we need to be aware of where we are in our walk with God. In my text, Jesus is speaking to his church. He is not talking to sinners. He is talking to his church. And here he's talking, listen to this, in Revelation 3:15. Jesus said, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now remember, Jesus speaking to his bride, the church. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to us. Verse 17, because you have said, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to try me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. That's what I come to do today, to anoint your eyes with the word of God so you can see clearly. Look at verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's a key verse. You know, the Lord is trying to bring a word of correction this morning to his people. I believe there are people all over that are going to be preaching from this text. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to move and talk to his people out of this text right here. Look at verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. And look at this. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down in my Father's throne. He that hath an ear, do you have an ear? A spiritual ear. You might think everything is all right, but you're not going to think it's all right when I finish this message. I promise you that. Hallelujah. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. My subject, who's that knocking at my door? Look at your neighbor, and I'm looking at you. Who's that knocking at my door? Ask him, who's that knocking at my door? Father, in Jesus' name, we open our hearts, we open our minds to receive the word of God, a word of correction, a word, Lord, that will help us in our walk with you, a word that will help us make heaven our eternal home. You're speaking to me, Lord, and give me ears to hear what the Spirit says. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Whether you believe it or not, many good people who are involved in doing good things, they will not make it to heaven. In our text, we find Jesus outside the door of his church. He's knocking on the door because he wants to come in and have an intimate relationship with his people. An intimate, not just a relationship, not just get saved and everything is okay. No, he's saying, I want intimacy with my church. Jesus said, because some of you have shut me out, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Could it be because you have shut him out and he's no longer has first place in your life that he will have to spew you out of his mouth? Jesus said, I'm going to have first place in your life or else I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, here's my point. Some people will be shut out of heaven, not because of bad things they have done, but because they have become preoccupied with the good things of this world. Some people are so engrossed in the here and the now that they have forgotten to take care of spiritual matters that are so important. Our eternal destiny, that is nothing as important as heaven and making heaven our eternal home. The Christians that I'm referring to in my sermon this morning, they don't do drugs, they don't drink alcohol, they don't gamble. They don't indulge in pornography or in perversions. They aren't numbered among the wicked. Many of them, they're in church at least once a week, almost every week. These people have family values. They enjoy time with their families, time with their friends. They are so engrossed in the good things of this life that they cannot see what they are headed for and the danger that lies ahead. Whenever you give anything other than Jesus Christ first place in your life, you, me, or anyone else is headed for trouble. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. This is a verse I live by right here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, a right relationship with God, and all these things, all the stuff that you will ever need in this life, it will be added unto you. These are the words of Jesus. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment from the Lord. Well, I keep his commandments, Pastor. I don't drink and I don't run around and I don't associate with people that do. Well, he's not talking about sin. He's talking about giving him first place in our life. It's a commandment from the Lord. Jesus promised if you will seek him first, that he will add everything that you will ever need. But you must make him your primary focus. The Apostle Paul said it like this. It's found throughout the scripture. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 3:2, he said, set your affection upon things of this earth, upon things above. Did you catch that? Not upon the things of this earth. Set your affection. Put your priorities on things above and not upon the things of earth. The next verse says, and then which Christ, which is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Why are we going to appear in glory? Because we've set our affection upon keeping the commandments of God and serving him with all our heart. Set your affection. Set them like iron. Set them like concrete on the things of God. Now, this is not a shout and run the aisle sermon, okay? I like to preach evangelistically. This is a word of correction that the Lord is bringing to his church. The greatest injustice you could ever commit against the Lord is to forget that you are bought with a price. Let me say that again. The greatest injustice you could ever do to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is to forget that you are bought with a price. There are people that half-heartedly serve God. And at church time, they may be here or they may not be here. And you really cannot count on them. That means if the pastor in the church can't count on you, that God can't count on you. That means the people in the church that need your prayers, if you're walking in great victory, that need the gifts of the Spirit that operate through you, if they need you and you're not here, God can't count on you. Do you understand what the Lord is saying? Hallelujah. Some of you may be thinking that you're not guilty of putting the Lord in second place. But how do you prioritize your time? I realize that none of us can help missing church once in a while. We have jobs, some people, that prevent us from being at a certain place at a certain time. I realize that everyone has to work, and the Bible says you have to work. I'm supposed to work. He said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. We're to take care of those that can't help themselves. We're to take care of the poor, because God said the poor you have with you always. But I don't have to live there. Praise God. God has a seed time, harvest time principle. Some people say, I'm living on a fixed income. Who fixed it? God didn't fix it. God has a seed time, harvest, and he said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God said, I'll cause people to give to you. I see preachers all the time, and they put things out about the prosperity gospel. Do you want a preacher that preaches about poverty? I don't. I want to understand what the Word of God says about seed time, sowing my seed and reaping a harvest. The more I sow, the more I reap, and the more I give, the more I get. I can't make it come out on paper. I just understand it's a faith thing, and I've been practicing all my life. I'm an accountant by background, but I can tell you one thing. This is spirit, and when you do sow into the Spirit of God, God will call all grace to abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency for all things may abound to every good work. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, whether you believe it or not, as a Christian, you are supposed to be in church whenever you can. You must plan your life and put your priorities in order. I can't do that for you. You have to make your calendar out and your plan for the week and say, on Sunday morning, I'm going to church. Sunday night, I'm going back to church. Wednesday night, I'm going to church. If they have revival, I'm going to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do the things that will edify my spirit man. I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to find him, because I'm going to seek for him and search for him with all my heart. Jesus has first place in my life. And praise God, I know that the world is full of sin, but I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I intend to make heaven my eternal home. I'm going to serve him with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, with every fiber of my being. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in the last days, church, and Jesus warns us just how it will be. Listen to what the Lord said, Luke 17:26. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Look at this. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah went into the ark and the floods came and destroyed them all. Jesus is talking about judgments coming. Now look at this, verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone and destroyed them all. Again, God is talking about the judgment that's coming. Now look at this, verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, I want you to look at that list that Jesus gives us. We know that in Noah's day and Lot's day, there was violence. There was gross immorality, such as sodomy and homosexuality. Sounds like America almost. We know that sin was rampant, but Jesus does not talk about any of those things. But notice carefully what he does say. Just before judgment fell, Jesus said they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage. He said they were drinking, but he does not mention drunkenness. He said they were marrying and getting engaged, buying, selling, planting, and building. There's not one sin on that list that you're not supposed to do, okay? Those are all good, legitimate things that come with living out a bountiful, abundant life. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, attaineth favor of the Lord. A wife is a good thing. Hallelujah. Me and you ought to be saying amen, glory to God, hallelujah. The Bible says when the children of Israel went into the promised land, that God moved on his people to plant fields and to build buildings for his glory. That's a good thing. You need a place to stay. Everybody needs some stuff. The Bible speaks about seed time, harvest time. That's a great principle. As long as earth remains, seed time and harvest time shall not cease. Day and night, cold and winter, heat and summer. God wants to get our attention. He wants first place in our life. See, because he's trying to tell us that the good things happen in Bible days just before the judgment fell. It's because he's trying to tell us something that's vitally important. The Lord is talking to us. He's warning us not to become completely absorbed in our own activities and fail to give him, the Lord Jesus, lordship in your life. He's either Lord of all, he's not Lord at all, and he's not your Savior. Now, that's a powerful statement, but the Spirit spoke it to me. So think about it. Jesus never mentioned one word about Noah being mocked or abused or persecuted during those 120 years that he preached and worked and built that altar. We know that there was violence and corruption during that time, but Jesus never mentioned it. He said that everyone was so busy marrying, going out to eat, mixing with friends, having pleasure, that they had no time to listen to Noah's preaching. Noah was sent from God. You need to get on the preacher that you know that is sent from God so he can speak a word into your life. Just before the coming of the Lord, things are going to be like this. And Jesus predicted that it would be like that, and that many Christians in the day and age that we live in, they're going to be just like what he said happened in Noah and Lot's day. They're all wrapped up in their own plans for marriage, for children, for home, for pleasures, for careers. They're so wrapped up in these things that they have no time to listen to a message about serving God and giving Jesus number one place in their life. Who's that knocking at my door? Jesus is warning us. Now, here's the part right here. He is saying that the last generation will be just like the people in the days of Noah and Lot. The last generation. That's us. We are closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. He's coming back. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for him. See, Jesus said people be so busy, they will be wrapped up in their own interests that they will have no time for the Lord. Many people today, they are convinced that they're on the way to heaven. But week after week, they neglect the house of God. They neglect prayer. They neglect the Bible. They neglect talking to the Lord. See, God is love. God loves you. God loves me. That's why he would send a word like this. God is love, but the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. He's not talking about sinners. He's talking about children that disobey God. People that neglect the commandment of God, like come to church, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day, the coming of the Lord approaching. Look at Luke 17:30. Jesus said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man reveals. When Jesus spoke of his return, why didn't he talk about the crime rate? Why doesn't he refer to the immorality or the sin of abortion that's so rampant in our land today? Why didn't he talk about the drug epidemic? Why didn't he talk about our overcrowded jails? Why didn't he talk about the crooked politicians that are trying to take our rights away from us and change the course of this nation? No, he only said, just as it was in those days of Noah and Lot, people will be buying, selling, eating, marrying, and preoccupied with good things. They will be so engrossed and so busy with things, they will neglect their own soul. Look at Mark 8:36. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Your soul is the most important thing that you have. Everything else, all the stuff that we have, it's going to be burned up. God's going to renovate this earth with fire. But he's coming back for us because we are God's prized possession. We are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been bought with the blood, and Jesus should have first place in our life. We should make Jesus Christ Lord of all. And if he is not your Lord, he's not your Savior. And I'm going to show you that because the Lord began to deal with me. Hallelujah. By the way, Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? God spoke that three times in the Bible. It's found in Matthew, it's found in Mark, and it's found in Luke. God is trying to get our attention. He cares about your soul. No one else cares about your soul like God. The writer of Hebrews said, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, I'm not neglecting it. I just got a life of my own, Pastor, and I want to do what I want to do. No, bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Don't think you can do anything you want to. No, you can't. You're to serve him. He saved us to serve him. And the more you serve him and the more you have intimacy with him, the greater the blessings will be in your life. And you will assure yourself of heaven as your eternal home. As a pastor, I've seen a lot of people come and go little by little. I've watched them as they backslide. They give up a service here. They give up a service there. Dropping out of church, going after materialism, consumed with their jobs and all wrapped up in their own plans. You may be thinking, well, I have to make a living, Pastor, and the Lord understands that. No, he doesn't. Don't kid yourself. He will never accept second place in your life or my life. He will never understand why, when he shed his precious blood and bought you, died so you could have eternal life, died so you could have access into the very throne room of God through the blood of Jesus, he will never understand why you, me, or anyone else ever gives him second place. The Bible says that Christ is the head of his body, the church, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That word preeminence means first place. Jesus must have first place in my life. He must have first place in your life. When my wife and I were getting married, I told her, I said, I'm through with the world. I said, I want someone that wants to serve my master. I told her, I said, you will always be second place in my life. You will always play second fiddle. I will never let anything take first place in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I told her, I said, if a man will serve God with all of his heart, you can trust that man. I said, if he'll give Jesus first place, then he'll treat you right. I said, if I didn't have Jesus, I wouldn't trust me around the corner. Amen. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We must have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is on fire. And we can't let children or sports or materialism or anything take the place of Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, in Luke's gospel, I want to look at chapter 14. There's a parable about a great feast that the Lord has prepared. And the Lord is talking about our priorities in this parable. This is the good shepherd that's talking. This is the good shepherd that cares for his sheep. This is the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. This is the good shepherd that said, my voice, my people will follow and not another voice. This is Jesus. Now listen to this parable, Luke 14:16. Jesus said, a certain man made a great feast. He bade many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must need go and see it. I pray, have me excused. Luke 14:19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoking of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another one said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. Look at this. As thou hast commanded. Yet there's still room. The house is not full. Look in at this church. It's not packed. And verse 23, and the Lord said unto his servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel. Did you invite anybody to church today? Compel them. Well, that's your job, Pastor. No, I just do it because I love Jesus and I want people to know my Savior. I want people to come and experience his great salvation. I didn't choose to preach anyway. I'm a businessman. I do this because he called me. I'm 75. I still do this because he called me. I don't know how to quit. Don't want to quit. It's in my heart to just keep on going. Hallelujah. And I pray every day, God, give me strength, renew my youth like the eagles. Fill me with fire. Fill me with power. Fill me with your spirit. Let me touch people, oh God. I'm tired of preaching and not seeing people react to it. I get tired about that. And then God will give me a soul. Hallelujah. And then I see somebody healed. And then I see, woo, glory. I see somebody delivered. I see chains and shackles break off of the alcoholic. Glory. I see the drug addict set free. I see sinners come and get saved. And all of a sudden, my heart is encouraged. Glory to God. And I say, I'll just keep on pressing on, Lord. Hallelujah. Go on, praise the Lord. Hasn't he been good to you? Compel them to come in. Look at verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden, oh my Lord, shall taste of my supper. You've been bidden to the table. Ask yourself, who's that knocking at my door? This parable is important because Jesus is the man who is giving the great feast. The feast being spoken of is the gospel. In our relationship with Jesus. And the table being spread is the cross and the blessings of salvation. Simply put, our Lord is inviting us all to have intimacy with him. And to assemble together, wherever we assemble, in the name of Jesus. He said, and where you gather together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst of them. But the church is the place where we come to hear the word, where we gather to worship corporately. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're not going to do that. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 9:23. It's powerful. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Oh, I got a right to this. Let him deny himself. I got a right to do these things. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. He also said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm talking to all of us because we must make our call and our election sure. We must make certain that nothing ever comes before our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have something inside of you that just drives you to read your Bible, if you don't have something that drives you to prayer, if you don't have something that makes you say like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I invite you to find yourself an altar somewhere and repent and say, God, help me. Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If you don't have that hunger and thirst, you need to check up with the Most entire God and say, God, put that hunger, put that thirst inside of me. I want to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. My Lord. The table had been spread. The dinner was ready. Yet the parable tells us when supper time came, the people bid did not show up. Always remember this. I've never preached this. I remember I probably need to. Behind every excuse is a lack of desire. Behind every excuse is a lack of desire. The first invited guest excused himself because he was preoccupied with a real estate deal. I made a lot of real estate deals in my life. Look at Luke 14:18. I have bought a piece of ground. I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. That's excuse number one. This man had bought a piece of land, possibly to sell it and make some money, or maybe he just wanted to build a house for his family. Both of those things are good things. Buying land is not the point here. The point is this man had a wrong focus. He focused on his interest. He focused on his family. He put aside the invitation for intimacy with God and was more concerned about the real estate deal. He said, I'll take care of my relationship with God later. I'm going to take care of my own interests first. This is Jesus now. The fact that the land was there is the fact that land's not going anywhere. He could take care of his relationship with God first and then take care of the land later. The second invited guest was involved in buying cattle. Excuse number two, watch this. Luke 14:19. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I will go and prove them. I pray, have me excused. There's no sin in what that man did. Testing oxen was a smart thing to do. But the testing of the oxen is not the point here. What was the man's sin? Well, he acted as if going to the barn and checking those cattle out was more important than going to the house of God. Those oxen could have been tested on another day. Who's that knocking at my door? What are your priorities? The last invited guest said, look at Luke 14:20. I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. That's excuse number three. Oh. But once again, marriage is not the issue. The man sinned and that he put marriage and the family first. What the Lord is saying is this. Devotion to family is good. It's good in its place. It's good in its time. But nothing takes my place. The man could have brought his wife to the feast. That's what I used to do. Now she comes. I'll never forget. We were saved and we were having revival. I come on, Teresa, go with me to revival. She said, Jerry, I'm just not like you. Now she is. She said, I'm just not like you. I'm not going to church. Every time the doors open, Jerry, I'm just not like you. I said, please come and go. Well, what she didn't know is I was praying. I walked out of there and I prayed. And I never said anything to her out of the way. I said, God, touch her heart. She said she was washing the dishes. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God come over her, and she felt compelled to go to the house of God. She come up there, and I'll never forget, they're in heaven now, Brother Holt and Sister Holt. When she walked into that church, you know, I got to talking to them a little bit, you know, and when the prayer line was there, I said, agree with me in prayer that God will fill her with the Holy Ghost and fire. She was not brought up in Pentecost. She didn't know what the Holy Ghost was hardly. I led her to the Lord. Glory to God. That was my privilege. And I was working to get her disciple. She's my greatest, my best disciple. Amen. Hallelujah. And when that evangelist reached out to touch her, I don't know if he ever touched her or not. The power of God knocked her in the floor. She was speaking in tongues. But she was overcome. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. In other words, God is a great God. And today, you know, she likes to go to church. Amen. Take your wife to church, what I'm saying. Church, we've got to be careful that we don't put anything before the Lord. America has forgotten her priorities at the place of fullness of bread. Sports and monies have become the god of this world. We cannot allow those things to distract us. There's a harvest of souls out there. There are people. They need to be saved. They're hurting. They're broken. They're crying. They're sighing. And Jesus put a church down here, and he redeemed people with his blood. And he did that so that people could come to the house of God. They could pray together. They could believe together. They could worship together. They could create an atmosphere because of their intimacy with God. They could create an atmosphere where people could come and step into the awesome presence of God. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, you said we should put you first. Lord, help us to never put you in second place. Without you in my life, Lord, everything else is vain. Church, the greatest need in the church today, it is a personal love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The greatest need in the church today, it is a personal need for our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us stand. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Pastor Ricky.
I give myself away.
I give myself, Lord, of my own free will.
I give myself
Hallelujah.
Away so you can use me.
I Hallelujah.
Give myself away.
Anybody that doesn't know Jesus and he's spoken to your heart, you should be the first in the altar.
I give
Others that need
away.
To reprioritize their life, you need to come now. Openly before other people and say, Lord, I put other things before you. And I'm sorry. I've failed. And Lord, you've talked to me today. And I surrender all. I give myself away.
So you can. Verse 1. Here I am. Here I stand. Here I stand.
Lord,
who's
my that life? Knocking at my door?
Lord, my life. Is in your hand. Lord, I'm longing to see. Lord, I'm longing.
Lord, I'm longing to see.
To see your desires revealed. Your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.